This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
What you say? Just a friend.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi.
Oi. Here's the 1-2. Swung on, and there goes deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Over the bullpen into the crowd. It's Labor Day. He hits a 3-run home run to left field. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there. And the Yankees take a 5-2 lead.
Great Gail Kaner, Never Can Say Goodbye, and John Sterling, one of his famous home run calls from the Bambino to El Capitan to Glaber Day, like a good neighbor, Glaber is there, that of course being Glaber Torres. John Sterling, after 64 seasons in sports, and the last 36 with your New York Yankees calling it quits yesterday, an immediate retirement. Yesterday afternoon, there will be a ceremony coming up this Saturday, April the 20th, the day after my birthday. Happens to be Hitler's birthday. Also, a big weed day. And because it was Hitler's birthday, also the horrible commemoration of the Columbine shootings. All that's going on Saturday for John Sterling at Yankee Stadium. Now, talking about my birthday, I want to make this quick announcement. So it looks like my birthday may last a couple of days. Maybe a dinner with my friends at Casa Cipriani on Thursday night. Maybe a solo dinner with Danielle in the city over the weekend. But Friday night, the actual birthday night, it looks like the four of us, me, Danielle, Ava, and Gabe, are going to go to the Rockaway Hotel, the very swanky Rockaway Hotel in the neighborhood that Curtis Sliwa spends most of his time in lately. My dear friend John, who owns Claudette's, a very popular eatery, used to be on 116th Street, now he's in Howard Beach and other spots. He's going to cater this big Shabbos dinner. So we figured, wow, what a great night. Beautiful venue, the Rockaway Hotel, great food. John, Louis, you love John and Claudette's. There's one right by you in Avon, Auburn, whatever you call it. And a Shabbos dinner slash Sid birthday dinner, and there are still some tickets available. So if you guys want to join me for Shabbos and my birthday, look it up. I have no idea how you find it at the Rockaway Hotel on Friday night. And being Curtis, that you're always in my neighborhood these days, working with Tom Sullivan, hanging with Mike Sullivan, you're at the Last Stop Diner, you're on the Flatbush Avenue, Brooklyn side. You should be there on Friday, too. Of course, the amazing host of the Rip and Read, noon to 1, every weekday afternoon, does a tremendous job hosting overnights all weekend long, and his best work alongside me right here about this time every weekday, the icon, the legend, the great guardian angel, Curtis Sliwa. So what are you doing Friday night?
Well, hold off on that.
Slow down. Slow down, Sid.
Yesterday, broad channel first at Tommy's Pizzeria. And I go up to Tommy's, originally from Brooklyn. I say, Tommy, how come there are no Irish on the wall, huh? This is all Irish here, broad channel. I don't see Peter King. I don't see Regis Philbin. I'm going off while Tom Sullivan is wondering if I'm going to start a riot.
Where is that in broad channel exactly?
Oh, it's right on Cross Bay Boulevard. Great. Really? Great pizza.
I don't know. You know, my you want to talk about Irish people. There's a great restaurant in broad channel, and it's called Adrian's. You know this story.
Yes.
The young lady who died years ago and those two guys left her there to die. Her father, Marty Feeney, great Irishman, was a detective for many, many years. And that restaurant is right at the very beginning
when you get to Broad Channel after that bridge. I don't know Tommy's.
No. Well, you got to stop at Tommy's. Because that's why I sat down with Tom Sullivan, a plan, getting rid of Floyd Bennett Field on the Rockaway side. Remember, I don't wait. As you know, Sid, we worked the Brooklyn side Sunday after months of organizing. Now we're working the Rockaway side. That's what brought me to the last stop where you had been before that.
I had lunch at the same place you had dinner, but Tom Sullivan working on the Rockaway side of Floyd Bennett, why weren't you, and I guess you were, you and Tom Sullivan working on furthering his campaign so he can beat that cheating scumbag Stacey Amato?
That too. Bayswater. Just think Bayswater in your mind. It's going to be me, you, Dove Hike in there for Tom Sullivan. But put that aside. Because, boy, I have beef with you. I bought you your birthday present already in Howard Beach, and I was going to give it to you today, but not after your introduction. Oh, we had no time to cut up Curtis yesterday on the rip and read, following your orders, King David, to name and shame judges. We had no time. And then I hear you telling the story of Mike Lupica saying to you at Yankee Stadium, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
No, Mike Lupica, I walked into Chad Lopez's office and said, Mike Lupica, you ain't coming here. This show is Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg. How quickly you forget.
No, the Lupica story you forget, if you do listen, was from 2003. It was opening day, Yankee Stadium, me and Joe Beningo. At the time, Lupica was a big star doing sports on IMIS. So I didn't like him all the way back then. That was 13 years before I walked in the door to work with Bernard McGurk.
He was going to take your spot, Bernard McGurk.
But you were one of the people that made sure it didn't happen.
Damn,
you were there for me even then.
So let's play a little Jeopardy
here. All right, I'm ready to go.
Okay,
but on a serious note.
Yes.
When you do stuff on the rip and read that I have to play here, like what you did yesterday, calling out judges, and I'll do it again, Lori Peterson, you know that lowlife that punched that 9-year-old girl across the face? This judge, Lori Peterson, put Donald Trump's 76-year-old CFO in jail, and I love his son Barry, by the way, put him in jail, allowed this guy to walk, and he punched another young girl across the face. Her name is Lori Peterson. Next time, give me 2 minutes so I can make sure it's on the next morning.
It's okay. So you're putting the blame on me. So let's play Jeopardy.
All right. Here we go.
Let's look at the categories. Lefties, non-politics, pitches, weed, and Jews.
Lefties, weed, and Jews. I'll take Jews for 100.
Yeah, you always take Jews, so I'll determine the categories, okay? So you mentioned National Weed Day 420 coming up, right?
That's Saturday, yes.
Yeah. Gee whiz, is John Slosh going to be doing Puff Puff Pass on the mound when he's recognized, John Sterling? You know that's his name, Slosh.
I didn't know that.
S-L-O-S-S, born a Jew. You never know that with a name like Sterling, would you?
I did not. I knew he was Jewish, and I knew Sterling wasn't his real name, but to your credit, I did not know his name was Slosh.
And he's been known to like his weed also, as you know.
Like Bill de Blasio?
Like Ferguson Jenkins. We're going to get to that momentarily.
Well, didn't Fergie also do like acid or something?
Yeah, but you forgot.
Was it Doc Ellis or Doc
Medich? No. You forgot. The Miracle Mets of 69. Number one on the mound. Fergie Jenkins against the Mets. And the second coming of Sandy Koufax, Ken Holzman, the lefty. Right? Remember I said lefties. You didn't even acknowledge that he passed away. 2 no-hitters, 3 World Series.
He died yesterday.
Observant Jew. He grew up in St. Louis.
It's true.
And when he finally faced off against Sandy Koufax, he beat him in 1966, 2-1. My God, how could you forget that? You didn't even acknowledge it.
No.
That's number one.
He did die yesterday. That's true. Kenny Holtzman, yes.
That's number one. And
that's a fair criticism.
A fair criticism. No, you're going to have more because, remember, we're thinking 1965, game one, right?
Curtis, I was born in 1967.
Oh, but you were.
I was negative 2 years old.
You will never forget this. The greatest Jewish athlete ever,
Sandy Koufax,
yes. Sits out game one against the Minnesota Twins, Harmon Killebrew, Jim Cott, lefty.
New York Yankee, great Jim
Tony Cott. Oliva.
Yes.
Tony Oliva, right?
Yes.
He sits out. Everybody's like, how could you sit out a World Series? A proud Jew, Yom Kippur, lefty, right? You know who's not sitting out?
one of your people, I'm unveiling it to everybody now so they can put
it. It's not Yom Kippur.
Doesn't
you
matter.
Passover?
I'm looking at the schedule at Radio City Music Hall. They've extended his stay. Barry Manilow will be performing October Friday 11th, Saturday October 12th, the Day of Atonement, the highest Jewish holiday.
No.
What a shanda.
It is, but I don't think Barry Manilow is a real Jew. I think he's a Jew like your friend Ron Kuby and Bernie Sanders.
Well, wait a second. If he gets one more facelift, his face will snap like an old rubber band. So let's get back to John Sterling, okay?
Right.
John Sterling, who you're glorifying already.
Yes.
It's like he's on a pedestal.
The guy was great. Not good, great.
1971, how old were you?
1971, Curtis, I was 4 years old.
Okay, you're not listening to sports talk radio as I was. He was on WMCA at night. The King of Talk Radio was in the afternoon, Bob Grant. And who was trying to be the Bob Grant of sports talk but John Sterling?
Is that right?
Get off my phone, kid. You know, a kid
not to brush your bubble, but I know Bell came along or Art Rush Jr. There was no sports talk before Mike and the Mad Dog in 1986.
Hold on a second.
It all started WFAN 1986. Before that, Bill Mazur, all these other guys.
Hold on a second. Art Rush Jr., number 24, New York Giants, forget San Francisco. Hey, pal, can you lend me $200?
True story.
Hey, pal, can you give me $1,000?
It's a true story.
And then I had to protect him as he was leaving the studios at WABC because callers would call up and say, hey, Art, where's my $200?
Larry King did the same thing down in Miami. He would owe bookmakers a lot of money and ask people to bail him out all
the
time.
He kited checks. He should have been in jail. That's one of your people. Another Jew, right? Lafayette High School. Wait, I'm not finished. So then Wrong Way Lou Ruffino just glosses over it. Oh, one of his partners in sports was Fritz Peterson, right?
Yes, he just, something just happened to Fritz, too, I believe.
Yeah, he passed away.
Sunday, I think.
Fritz Peterson and Mike Kekich. Remember, it was, 1973 spring training.
You talk about the wife swapping?
What? Not only the wife swap, they swapped kids and dogs.
Yeah, well, they were bored.
And this was coming on the cusp of Bob and Carol, Ted and Alice, remember? Elliot Gould, the Jew, remember? Hey, we're keeping to Jeopardy here, right? Bob and Carol, Ted and Alice. So who's owning the Yankees at that time? CBS Mike Burke. CBS tells Mike Burke, hey, sell it to Steinbrenner and his consortium out of Cleveland, you know, the American Shipbuilding Company. But Burke says, I want to stay with you, Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner erupts. He goes, are you wife swapping on the Yankees? Never mind mustaches and beards and long hair. You're gone. Gabe Paul comes in. And now you know the rest of the story about that.
Yes.
But Mike Kekich, right, he was a lefty, right? No good. Not a really good relief, but Fritz Peterson had the lowest ERA ever as a starting pitcher in Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
no.
Did they know that at the fan? Of course they didn't.
Mike Francesa may have known that.
No, you didn't know that. That
was a big Yankee fan.
That was the dynamic duo of Mel Stottlemyre and Fritz Peterson.
Yeah.
And he stayed with the wife until he died the other day. But here's Wrong Way Lou. He was a partner of John Strong. Let's forget that.
Listen, I'm impressed that Lou even knew that. I didn't know that.
Oh, my God.
Knows a lot of sports,
and
you know.
Who is the wife? Who is the wife? Suzanne.
Suzanne. I'm going to go with Mrs. Peterson.
Who is the wife who dumped Mike Kekich after the swap? Marilyn.
Is that right?
Marilyn.
Did they actually fight? Was there actually a game?
No, they just, they discovered Jacoby, he discovered Myers, and they went their separate ways. Oh, my God, how you just glossed over that. I can't believe it.
Well, here's the thing. We're not as old as you. So you're clearly old, and you've got memories of stuff that nobody is alive to care about anymore.
I got beef.
I mean, nobody cares about this.
I got beef.
But
against,
I do love it.
I got beef against Sterling, a.k.a. John Floss.
By the way, according to Anthony, Sterling also did the Islanders, which Lou also brought up this morning. Lou has been on fire in the 1970s. He did the Islanders.
Don't try to catch up here on this.
I don't know.
You blew that one.
I don't care.
So it's what, 1996?
Okay, I remember that year pretty well.
And they're in the booth, John Sterling and Michael Kay. By the way, he used to do sports talk at night at WABC, and I had to teach them how to actually do it.
You had to teach them?
Yeah. Because nobody taught them how to work the equipment. Typically,
oh, you
they
mean
just,
work the equipment?
Yeah, they just throw you in. You know, this is typical
but
radio.
But you don't mean talk on the air. They knew how to talk, but.
Well, John Sterling knew talk radio at that time from his days at WMCA, but that was Michael Kay's first opportunity to do talk radio.
So now that Michael Kay has enjoyed some success for guys like Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, are you taking the talent for that?
I'm attacking both of them because in 1996, I did the post-game Yankee show, Atlanta Braves, New York Yankees. Game one, Yankee Stadium, Smoltz on the mound. He smoked the Yankees 12-1 Pettit. And a guy named Andrew Jones was 19 from Curacao. Couldn't even find it on a map.
Tremendous player.
Hit two home runs.
Yeah,
rookie
great
year. It was like he was the black Mickey Mantle. Remember? Game two, Yankee Stadium. It was Jimmy Key versus Maddox. Maddox shut out the Yankees. So what was Sterling and Michael Kay saying? It's over. It's over.
Well, it looked like it was over. I mean, Darryl Strawberry and I guess Leywood saved the day, but
excuse
it looked very, very
excuse
bad.
Me, I was
it
on,
looked very, very
I
bad.
I was on the post-post show saying to Sterling during the break, would you get off the radio already? Yankee fans don't want to be insulted by you going over all the highlights of the loss.
It doesn't mean they didn't want... Look, you know, it's like me. I said the Mets were done after five games. Now the Mets have won 8 of 11. Idiots on Sports Talk Radio go, well, Sid can't root for the Mets because he said they were done.
Hold on. This is my jeopardy here.
Yeah,
and
you
keep intervening. So who calls up in the wee hours in the morning? Ted Turner, half in the bag to me. The South will rise again. Because remember...
So he called you on WABC?
Yeah, he was half in the bag. Remember how powerful WABC is at night? Heard in 38 states, right? Parts of Canada, right? So he's calling up. He's half in the bag. We're having a great conversation. I'm telling Sterling, get off. Get off. You know what I mean? Oh, I got to go through all the lowlights. Yankee fans don't want to hear the lowlights. They want to hear highlights from the victory, like game three. And then the following three, they gave us the World Series. So now we're in the Canyon of Heroes. Yankees haven't been there in 18 years, right? They don't know how to do the parade. So there's Michael Kay, John Sterling, the broadcasting team from WABC. No truck. No truck for them to carry them through the parade. So who do they come up to? Me and the Guardian Angels. Can you get us a truck? I said, no problem. I requisitioned a truck. I kicked a group off a truck. Friends of George Steinbrenner Sr. from New Jersey. I put the two of those guys on.
Wow.
We got on the truck. People were throwing all kinds of debris at us. They didn't want to see anybody but New York Yankees. They didn't want to see Sterling. They didn't want to see Michael Kay. You ask them. They'll tell you the truth. I requisitioned a truck. I stole a truck so they could be in that parade.
That is a great story.
Did I ever get a thank you from John Schloss?
You didn't get a World Series ring?
I got Ugats.
Nothing?
I got Bumpus.
Yeah. By the way, it was 18 years before that. Now the Yankees are already on 15 years.
And by the way, when I went down to broadcast from Broadcasting Row, Giuliani was the mayor, right? None of the sports guys wanted me down there to do the live broadcast at WABC. All of a sudden, to Sterling and Michael Kay, I was a person of no consequence. You know the guy who saved me this spot? Was Francesa.
Mike Francesa?
The Pope said to everybody, Curtis is one of us.
Were you friends with him at all?
No. He said he didn't like the way I was being treated.
Right.
He said he's one
fair
of
guy,
us.
Fair guy, Mike.
He
yes.
does the post-post game show while Sterling is talking for hours and hours. The lowlights. Come on, let's tell the truth here.
God, you're funny. See, I thought you were going to come on this morning, and that was an unbelievable 15 minutes, as only you can do. As only you can do. I give you all the credit in the world. But I thought you were going to say, oh, stop it with Sterling. Come on, the better days were White and Rizzuto and all your other favorite Yankee announcers.
Oh, no, Phil, my boy, he had alligator arms. He didn't pay for anything. But the Bill White, and then, of course, you had Joe Garagiola there.
Yeah.
They were losing like 22-4 in the fourth inning in the days of CBS and Michael Burke. They tried to destroy the Yankees. And they would tell these great stories that were so compelling you'd want to continue to listen.
Well, the Mets did that, too. The Mets were a terrible team, but they had guys like Bob Murphy. They had Lindsey Nelson. They had the great Ralph Kiner.
All half
they
in
would
the bag,
entertain
by
you
the way.
Too.
All half in the bag. Their eyes were rolling in the back of their head.
They weren't half in the bag.
And they had those polyester waffle weave flame retarded jackets, you know, from the 1950s. Where the hell did they get that wardrobe from? And then Kiner's corner. Ralph Kiner. His head was like, he was like a smooth. I said, yeah, here it is, yeah. Ralph Kiner. Yeah, Kiner's corner. and the ball player, whoever the star would come on. And what did they give him? What did they give him? A case of Rheingold beer? You know, I don't know what it was. Schaefer. You know, I'm telling you, so low budget back then. And now, what does Sid Rosenberg, King David do? He says to Justin Ellick, who's learning Hebrew, oh, it's too warm in here. Oh, it's too cold in here. Oh, there's a draft on me. You know what you've turned out to be? The male version of Barbara Streisand. The only thing you don't have is a schnoz. What the hell has happened to you, Sid Rosenberg? Oh, my God, what a shunder. Barry Manilow will be performing on Yom Kippur Radio City Music Hall. Stop it. You tell Dolan, shut it down in honor of the greatest Jewish athlete of all time. From Lafayette High School, we are here, Sandy Koufax.
Hey, I make a murmur. See, this joint is jumping. They make such a fuss, just seems to rise. Hey, it's Mr. Dick Clark.